Turn to John 9. This is a short piece for you to think about, a premise or a precept for your Bible study. Isn't it amazing? You are in Bible school when you come to church. Pastor Jason, who did the offering, did the adult Sunday school this morning. So adult Sunday school is before this service. We have a service here at 9, adult Sunday school at 9:30, for those that would like to, and then the 11 o'clock service here. And then at night, 6:30, just for everybody to know that. Now, John 9, verse 1. Jesus passed by. Could you say that with me? And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, verse 2, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, we have a lot of questions in life. We would like to know, why is there suffering? Why is there sickness and disease and war? And here we have a very sensible question. A man is blind, and the disciples are with Christ, who is so refreshing to listen to. Christ doesn't speak like the scribes and the Pharisees in Luke 4:22. Christ is expressing God and the mind of God. He tells stories. He explains things. He has good answers that resonate in your heart. And I hope that's happening for you. Because if you have God resonating in your heart with his life and his wisdom, then it builds you up. Say, builds you up. Say that with me. Builds you up. Builds you up with muscles. Okay. Build you up. How was it with the skit, Pastor? The two German weightlifters? Hans and Franz. And what's the accent? How's it go? Pump you up. Pump you up. Okay, so, all right, be built up in the inner man, okay? But sometimes some of the questions that we have in life drag us down. We get hurt in life, and we are troubled. Why did this happen? And so now they have an opportunity to say to Jesus, why is the man born blind? Who sinned? Meaning that a lot of pain and trouble in life does come from sin. But whose sin? And how does that work, right? So this is what we described in our services here in the past. And many of you are familiar with the house, right, with the two levels. And that the universe, we describe it something like this. That on the first floor of the house, there are these questions and some answers, but the answers are limited. Kind of like a fish in an aquarium. The fish is a fish, the fish is swimming, but it's still not the same as when the fish is in the ocean or in a river. Man is something like a dog on a leash, or a fish in an aquarium, or an animal in the zoo, because his sin has limited him. He is troubled in life by many unanswered questions and also a lot of emotion and a lot of abstract thoughts that don't bring him anywhere. It's kind of like they say falling a rabbit down into a rabbit hole and not going anywhere. And life is something like that. So in the story, Jesus is going to give us some wisdom. Verse 3, Jesus answered, "Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." In a way, it doesn't seem like it answers the question. You mean he's blind, that the works of God would be manifest in him? Yes. This is part of the plan. Well, explain it to me. Well, watch. Watch what happens. This is where you and I need to go in our life. It's a life of faith. Because really, you and I are made to be in more than just the first part of the house. We are to be in the whole house. Or another way of saying it is that we have been joined to God. For he that is joined to God is one spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:17. Spirit. And of course, Holy Spirit. Jesus was here, and he was with God and in fellowship with God, and he was living in what we say by using our analogy, he lived in the whole house. He understood suffering. He understood people. He understood what life is about. He understood his purpose. He understood that life is spiritual. He understood that love is the key in life. God's love. He understood who God is, and that God was with him, and in God he was able to minister on the earth, not with pills and therapies and the ways of men and the counsel of men and money and circumstances, manipulation, and trying to get somebody to do something. He was blessed of God. He was a mystery. He was Christ on the earth. He shows us another way. He said in John 14:6, "I am the way," remember, "and the truth and the life." So now the man that's going to be healed in the story is going to enter into this. Look at chapter 9 in verse 4. "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had thus spoken, well, I think you understand those verses. It's like in our picture here. We could say, if you can see it, Jesus is really in the whole house. And he's saying, as long as I am here, I am the light of the world. And actually, we can add, when he leaves, he is the light of the world. And we that follow him walk in the light of life. John 8:12. He doesn't stop being the light of the world. And what we see is what we're all hungry for. What we see is real answers, really Holy Spirit doing something, Holy Spirit leading us beyond the ways of men. And in our world, and it doesn't matter what century we live, it's the same everywhere. Every century that has ever existed with the human race, every era, every period was really this floor in the limits of it versus the connection with God who brings us beyond it. So verse 6. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. So saliva and mud on the face. Want to do that after church? After service? Try it. Go out there, spit, make the clay, put it on your neighbor's face. What would he do if he was blind and this is rubbed on his face? He would feel it, right? He'd go, what's going on? What's happening? What are you doing? Why are you doing it? Why are you doing it? Here's a good question for the first floor of the house. Why? Why are you doing it? What are you doing? Where are we going? When? Where? When? How? All those big words often happen. But as we live in something more than the answer to those things, we don't have answers, but we live in something more. What is it that we live in? What is it that Jesus is saying? What is it that Jesus is doing? We are listening to Jesus. That's what we're doing. Well, what about this? Well, Jesus has a word. That word is our food, our meat. That's why we love our Bible. Because it gets us out of this stuff that many people live in and they can't get out of it. We said in the earlier service that this sentence, he goes, where do we go to find the skill of living in daily life? Do you know it takes skill to live every day? Probably if you're here this morning, you're one of the ones who have learned the skill. You actually got up, made breakfast. You probably started a car or got on the bus. You actually had a ticket. You actually were able to tie your shoes and come here. I don't mean it. I'm not making a joke out of it. Unfortunately, some have lacked the skill for daily life, and they suffer, and they can't do things, and they can't get things done, and they struggle with it, and they suffer. So my question is, where do I, and you, we could say, I'm not able, but where do I go to get the skill for living a daily life? Good question. Well, read the story with me. It says, and he said unto him, after he muddied his face, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is my interpretation, sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Having been in Israel and knowing that pool, where it is, and also walking around the area and just wondering where this miracle, where he met a blind man. Of course, we don't know. But anyway, the muddied face and then the pool he had to go to. And being blind and being in the area, I'm sure he somehow knew how to get there. And because he had been blind since birth. But he went, and I think he could have asked these questions. Why? Right? When? Where? What? How? Why did Jesus do this? What's going on? What's my future? What's going on? Why? I got to wash my face. He didn't tell him you will be healed. He just said, go wash in the pool. Right? Go wash in the pool. One sentence. Go wash in the pool. He didn't say, I would have said, go wash in the pool and you will be healed. But Jesus dropped that part. go wash in the pool. You know, life is faith. You know, I remember becoming a believer and just learning with other believers to pray. And we would kneel down and we would just pray and maybe then raise our hands and pray. And I would wonder, why are we raising our hands? God, but the Lord said in the scripture, lift up holy hands and prayer. So that's all that I know. So by faith, I would lift up my hands. The point, you can't get to the rest of the house without faith. You can't get very far with your dirtied face asking why this happened to me and what's going on. You can't go very far without him. And he says, trust me, faith, right? So it happened. Verse 8. The neighbors, therefore, I think we need to, in verse 8. The neighbors, therefore, and they which we before had seen him that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes open? He answered, a man that is called Jesus made clay, anointed my eyes, said unto me, go to the pool and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. Where are those people living? Those people are on the first floor of the house, right? Where is he? Okay, you've been healed blind. Where is he? It's like, isn't there a disconnect in reality there? A blind man is healed. But the people that are in this world, honestly, oftentimes, they are blind to the real issues. They are blind to the deeper things, the important things. They should be falling down on their face saying, what? You were blind and you are healed? And they say in a sacred tone, like, who did this? Like, what? Like, what is happening? Are you kidding me? How did this is amazing. You were blind and now you see? Speechless. Amazed. But the world is numb, calloused, sometimes overly analytical, sometimes wrapped up in the burdens of first floor questions, and they don't have childlike praise and childlike worship and, wow, God is here, God is real, his name is Jesus, where is he? And then when they asked him again and talked to him, they said, who is he? Where is he? And he said, I don't know, because I was blind when the miracle. I never saw his face when he put his hand on me and muddied my face. I never saw him. But he is here. He is visiting people. He's God. He is the Messiah. He must be the Messiah. Now, what does this mean for us? Turn now to 2 Timothy, please, knowing this principle. And now we'll go to the real meat of the message. And in a word, it's really when God speaks to your heart. And in a church like this, it is our prayer all the time and in our everyday life. How can I get the skill for living everyday life this way? This is how it works. It's the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Because you see, you know, Isaiah 30:34, let's just skip there to that. For a second, I want to really emphasize. Though a fool, 35, Isaiah 35, verse 8. It says, a highway shall be there, and a way. It shall be called the way of holiness. I enjoyed Bible college this past week. I feel the holiness of God in the classroom. I feel the purpose that we have. We have a high and holy calling in the work that we do. We have an amazing privilege of ministering, receiving in the body. We have a body life where you know, have you ever noticed after church service is over, 1 hour passes and people are still here talking and being together. And I tend to believe that those conversations are godly. I tend to believe that those are edifying words. I tend to believe that we love each other in many levels, like in a practical way of helping each other in the things that we are doing in life, raising children, holding our jobs. I lose my job, looking for a new one, having my house, my neighborhood, doing the things in the ministry that we do, and so on, fixing a car or selling or buying something. I tend to believe that the gifts that God has given us in the body, these are all for our edification. And there are many of them here. And we hear from the pulpit a message that stirs me up in the whole house living. I'm stirred up in the whole house living. And this is where we are living. This is where we get it. Now look at 35, 8. And a highway shall be there in a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. It's a highway. Yeah, it's a literal one in history. It will be coming in the millennial reign. But for way of spiritual application, we are on that highway this morning. We're on a spiritual highway. And it will be called the way of holiness. And it's different from the other way, okay? The rabbit hole way. The hard way of the legalism. The hard way of the cold-hearted Pharisees. The hard way of life. The hard way of always complaining. Hard way of always, you know, like finding myself guilty for something. This is the hard way. But this is another way. This is the unclean shall not pass over this highway. Do you see that? Is it up there? Yeah, there it is. The unclean shall not pass over it. Okay, this takes time, but okay, highway of holiness, okay? It's a way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's something more, different now. This is the way. This way. Where is that way? How do I find it? I find it by faith. By faith in God, by faith in Christ, I find that way. Now watch. The unclean, we could say the unbeliever or the person that has no interest in God or any fear of God or any interest in the things of God will not pass over it. But it shall be for those, the wayfaring or traveling man, the traveling people. What does it mean, traveling people? Well, this is not my home, this planet, Earth. We are pilgrims and sojourners passing through. Like pilgrim in Pilgrim's Progress, we are passing through this life. Yeah? We're coming back. And it will be our home, but just now we are in a foreign country. We're from another place. We are citizens of another. We are not here. We are wayfaring men, and that, like, this is the part I like. Though fools. Oh, thank you, Lord. You got me. I got in there. I got in there. though fools, though fools. I have to say, there are people that are very clever, and they are very capable of living this life on their first floor. And they can do everything. They love the aquarium. They got it down. They cross their T's, dot their I's. One brother said they tiptoe safely through life. They tiptoe through life, hoping they won't cause nothing wrong will happen until they make it safely to the grave. That's how they live. There are people like that. They are capable. They pay their bill, their job, everything about it. But I got to say, I don't know, and I don't really care about this point, but I want to say something to everybody here. I am living a unique life. You are living a unique life, and I didn't do it. Do you hear me? I am living a unique life. A life is way beyond my capacity, and I am enjoying it, and it's not because of me. It's because of the highway. It's because of the person, Jesus Christ, that he gets all the glory. If anything works out okay in my life, I just tell you right now, straight up, without any question, God is the reason for it. I mean, I'm serious about it. I'm not kidding. I could not do it. I am a sinner. I will mess things up. And by the way, the people that look like they got it down, let me tell you a secret. It's fluff. It's a suit. It's an empty suit. It's a liar. The best that man can be is vanity. Nobody has a corner on this thing called life. In the first floor, you may be in an aquarium, but that's all you got is an aquarium life. But if you come to Christ, Christ gives you the whole thing. And this blind man is saying, when they get on his case, like, who healed you? And why? Who healed you? You are a sinner. And who are your parents? And all these first floor questions that really rain on the party. They raining on the party. And the blind guy could say, you know, are you kidding me? What do these questions mean? Why are you talking like this? Do you have any idea what it means to be blind your whole life? And suddenly, boing, the eyeballs are open and I got to look at you people. Actually, you are funny. You are fascinating. You got these things on the side of your head. And on and on. I mean, first time looking around and these idiots, okay? Me, you, us, idiots living like saying, you know, this wasn't, you know, I had 14 chocolate bars in the drawer. Now there are 13. The window's supposed to be open. It's closed. Who closed the window? I want answers. Who closed the window? Look it. If you are a fool like me, and you fear God, and you say to God in your heart, I need help in this thing called life, then he puts you on the highway. And though you are a fool, you will not err therein. There'll be something about your life that is unexplainable. There's some grace that is happening in your heart. There are some new desires that you have that are towards God. There are prayers that you pray that are answered. There are things that happen that you just say, wow, that's amazing. Thank you, God, you did it. Now, let's say two things about it and we'll finish it up. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Just hold up your Bible. Just hold up your Bible like that for me. That in the congregation. There we go. Do you realize that this is given by God. These are words. And have you ever noticed how animals can't talk like we can? But we can say words. And God gave us this book knowing that we need words and that these words change things. These are words of God. Look at 16. That this scripture is profitable for a doctrine. That means like thinking with God, for doctrinal thinking, for reproof, like to be corrected, for correction, for instruction in how to live in righteousness. And I need that instruction. And verse 17, that the man of God may be mature or complete. The word perfect meaning complete or finished. Like he means that he's qualified, he's capable, because he has the word of God. Though a fool, yet living in the whole house, because the word of God brings us into the whole house. The purpose of God's word is that we would live not by our feelings or our wounds or our pains or our own analysis of life, but we would live by faith in the word of God. Instead of analyzing people, we live by faith in the word of God. That's what happens. Now look at chapter 4 and look at what he says to Timothy. I'd like to just, verse 1 is so valuable, but we'll read it. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. If any man speak, let him speak the oracles of God. Preach the word. Have the word in your home. Preach the word into yourself. Preach the word. I remember in our Finnish mission, when we were living there, we started Bible college, and I gave the assignment to the people in the homiletics class. They had to go out and preach in the forest. And the Finns like the forest. They also like to be alone sometimes in the quiet. And they had to go out and preach, and they still tell me about it, that they went out there and and they preached. They had to learn. They had to learn to share, to preach the word. And we had moose in our area in the forest where we were living. And I remember Hanley walking home one night, midnight, the moose were on the move because of the mating season, and we had those hormones going on. They were kind of, they were, you know, you didn't know what they were doing. They were very big animals. And I remember she had to walk home on the road like so slowly because there were two moose there in the woods, and she had to go home like this. It took her an hour and a half to walk up the drive. Honestly, it took an hour and a half to walk like a half a mile. So, did I get off the point there? We were really big time. It was just fun, the stories and thinking about. Preach the word. What word? The Rhema word. The living word. The Bible from the Spirit. So be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove. Rebuke, exhort. Do you know that some people don't want to go to the church because they don't want to be rebuked? They don't want to be told adultery is sin. But we're telling you it is. They don't want to be told that lying and cheating is sin, but it is. They don't want to be told what our convictions are about babies, abortion, and so on. They don't want to go. They don't want to hear it. They do not want to hear it. And that's written here. Look at the next verse. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Do you see it? What is it? Read it out loud. They will not, and the time will come, and put in their parentheses, 2017, when they will not endure sound doctrine. So turn to your neighbor and say, can you endure sound doctrine? Can you handle it? Can you handle it? Can you handle it? Can you handle it? No, I don't want to go there. I'm not going to listen to that. I don't want any of that in my life. So then what happens? What happens? I'm on the first floor of the house. And I'm living my life just the way I want to live my life. Then you are free. And nobody here is a judge. We're not judges of each other. People are free to come and go and do however they want to live. But you come here to hear a good message that's based on the person of Jesus Christ, who, when they said about the blind man, who did sin? And there we go, stop right there and say to Jesus. And Jesus said, I'm going to show you something. Now, we're not talking about this guy and what caused his pain. We're going to tell you something. We're going to show you something about life. I'm going to show you God. I'm going to open a door that you haven't been through yet. I'm going to show you the living Christ. Now, if you want your adultery, you can go and live in it. But I have found something much better. The whole house, the ocean of God, righteousness and his joy and peace. We have found an answer for the problems that we have in this world. We have found Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. We have found the Holy Spirit filling us, and we found this book that maybe is like a knife or a razor that'll cut right through a surgeon's scalpel, and say, I know you. I care for you. I love you. I got something for you. Now, notice, we'll get verse 3. They will not endure sound doctrine. But how does it work? After their own, say it with me. After their own what? Lusts. Yeah, what will they do? What will the lust do? Their lust will drive them in getting the teaching that they want. Their lust will say, I will find another teacher or another book or another philosophy so that I can live as I want to. Verse 3. They will, after they're based on their lust patterns in their sin nature, they will pile up, heap. They won't just have one. They will heap to themselves. Remember the king Ahab said he had 400 false prophets. Remember, 400 false prophets. And King Jehoshaphat said, do you have one more? And the king said, yes, but he never tells me what I want to hear. And the king, Joseph, said, that's the one I want to hear. It's a great story. Okay, verse 3. They will heap radio, movies, TV program. Always there's some professor. By the way, I got to tell you this. You must know this. Before a Christian holiday, 1 month before, Time magazine, this is the December issue, they will bring in some study and they will say something to raise the question about Christ. He was born in Bethlehem, and they will have some professor, some archaeologist that's going to do a study, who's studying today probably, that, well, actually, Bethlehem, there were actually two Bethlehems. And actually, the Bethlehem that is reported that, and then they go about the other Bethlehem. I'm making this up, but this is the idea. And we found a tomb, and this tomb has actually got this Aramaic, And we have certain evidences that show that, and that Jesus was not really born in that Bethlehem. And furthermore, we wonder actually if his name was really Jesus at the time. And on it goes. That's the way it goes. And the people are reading it. Christmas comes. It passes. Months pass. You do a little research on that, and it's all disproved by other archaeologists and professors. It was all just what? Lot propaganda, the game that they play. They play the game. Easter, they do it. A month before Easter, they go on the whole thing. It's every year. Every year. Hello? Are we surprised? Do you realize you can heap to yourselves all kinds of teaching that'll tell you whatever you want to believe? And if you don't want to believe in Jesus, you can find a million people that'll give you the reasons why they don't. Okay? But how about you? What do you think? Have you found it? Have you found that Holy Spirit edification, fellowship where there's a clear sound? It really is Jesus who said, "Wash, and I came away seeing." And I don't know what happened. All I know was I was blind and now I see. I don't understand what you are talking about, but I tell you, you can't drag this away. I mean, away from this with a whole team of horses. I am sold out on it. I have found it. And I have looked at it and thought about it for more than 40 years. Read it this way, that way, thought about it, experienced it, and realized the reality of it. But the time will come when they will not endure that message that kind of goes against my way, my own ideas and my own life. But if you can take it, if you can take the rebuke, if you can be serious about your faith, if you can hear from God, if you can say, "God, this is the way I'm going, come hell or high water, this is what I decide. I am believing this because you said it, and you did not make this so that I would be destroyed. You gave me this so that I could know, and that praise would be a part of my life and a way of my heart." That faith would be not unusual for us, but faith would be the very thing that changes our life so that we can skillfully live a daily life with eternal value to it. And say hallelujah. Let's finish up. Verse 3, it says, they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. It's like they won't be totally satisfied. Look at my ear here, itching ear. It's like I have to do it again, like I have an itch. I'm not satisfied. I just kind of itch again. Here, next year it'll be something else. I'll hear again. But for us, it's not an itching ear. It's a satisfied ear. It's an ear where it goes down deep into our ears. It's an ear that is edified, an ear to hear more and for us to grow in understanding more and more and more. And then verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. Well, I think that's enough. It is a great verse to end on. They will turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. Any kind of thing, but just don't put Jesus Christ in it. You can believe you're a bowl of cornflakes. That's fine. But don't talk to me about Jesus. You can believe that aliens are out there listening in and visiting every other weekend. That's fine. But don't talk to me about Jesus Christ. Tell them, you know, these tabloids, magazines with these amazing headlines that are crazy. you know, cat had, you know, astronaut on the moon or something. I mean, Elvis Presley, believe in Elvis Presley, but do not believe that you can believe Elvis is alive. Elvis is, but do not get serious with this book and have Jesus Christ speak to your heart and obey him. But when the blind man went and he did it and he came back, he goes, boy, I'm telling you, I got it. And those that don't want to believe in Jesus will be turned onto fables, lies, and stories, and so on. Okay? Yeah. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? This part of the service is important because God has spoken in the service to hearts. And some may not be believing in Christ, and listening to this message, you are saying, yes, I'm not sure about all of it, but I believe that God raised Christ from the dead. I believe that Christ is the answer for my life. I believe that Christ is real. And I'm going to come to right now as I am. I have sin in my life, but Jesus will take care of that. I'm not a perfect person, but Jesus has made me in his image. And he has a plan for me. And I'm going to come to him by faith. Just like the blind man went by faith, so come to Christ today by faith in him. And walk with by faith in him. And you will see and know in your heart. So say this prayer, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. Say that prayer, please. I believe in you, Jesus. I believe in you. And then raise your hand here in the auditorium. You're saying, thank you. God bless you. Beautiful. Two hands. Four. Five. Anybody else? Six. Seven. Beautiful. Seven hands. Wow, beautiful. Thank you, Lord. We love it. We love it. Just keep the hands up and the ushers will give you a booklet. God bless you. Thank you. Beautiful. You are born again, a child of God. God is with you. Jesus loves you. You're in the family of God. Yes, beautiful. Thank you, Lord. In your name, amen. Would you stand, please?